Thank you, Jono. Yeah. Yes. That is our prayer this morning, and hopefully each and every day. Our prayer is, come Holy Spirit, come fill us anew and empower us. So, yeah, actually I'll just echo that prayer. Lord, we just pray that you will come here in this place. You are already in our midst, but we just pray that you fall afresh on us again this morning. I pray that the words that are spoken this morning are your words, that you will speak through me, and that the ears will hear the words, that the message that you have prepared for us this morning. Amen. Good morning, all. It's always great to get a response. I love that. Thank you. You know, this isn't quite how I was going to start, but I was reflecting. It's a bit over a year ago now that I preached for the first time, and I still get just as nervous as I was last year. But I guess I've got my own little testimony to share this morning of God answering prayer. You know, it's always so good to hear testimony and story of how God is at work in our lives. And so thank you, Manoah, thank you, Jeremy, for what you shared this morning. And I encourage you, if you are sitting thinking, oh, you know, I have something to share, but you know, maybe it wasn't as powerful as what someone else has shared, or maybe it wasn't as interesting, or it was just a little thing, please still come and share it. Or maybe if it's not for the time in the service to share, connect groups are the best place, aside from church, to share with one another what God is doing in our lives. You know, just this morning, as we're standing in worship, and I could feel the nerves rising a little, and I said, God, look, I just pray for your peace. Just, you know, calm those nerves and settle them. And, you know, my expectation, because he's done that before, I felt his peace just wash over me. But that didn't happen this time. What happened was Emily came over and asked if she could pray for me. And that is God answering my prayer. And, you know, so sometimes he doesn't answer the way that we expect, or the way that he did the last time. And so, Emily, I just want to thank you for that, for being faithful. It's not often that we, you know, during service, during worship, that we, you know, step aside and go and pray for someone. But you've done that, and I just want to thank you, because that was the answer to the prayer that that God provided this morning for me. So can I encourage you, church? Be listening, be attentive to what God's saying, and step out. So awesome. All right, so come Holy Spirit. This morning we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm sure many of us could recite Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I do apologise, there may not be slides this morning with the verses, so I encourage you to get your Bibles out, to have your phones out, and I'll try to allow for a few seconds to flick through the chapters and find, so that you can read along too, because it's so great to be able to read and follow along together. But the fruit of the Spirit, other than being a popular Sunday school verse, memory verse, what is the fruit of the Spirit all about? Let's take a look at the context of the passage. The book itself is one of Paul's letters written to the church of Galatia. The church there has been influenced by false teachers, instructing them that they need to follow Jewish law in order to be Christians. So Paul writes this letter to correct their wrong thinking and to encourage them to return to the truth of the gospel. The truth that salvation comes not by works. You know, we looked at that when we last year a little bit. It's not by anything that we can do, but by faith in Christ Jesus, which leads to justification. You know, in chapter 5 of Galatians, Paul writes of the freedom that comes from believing in Christ. We're no longer being slave to the law, or to the flesh. So he was writing in this time, people were kept going back to the law, kept going back to what they originally knew, because they couldn't focus. They couldn't just focus on Jesus. They kept going back to the old ways. Sounds a bit familiar. You know, we read in verse 13 onwards. So Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then we get to verse 22. But, which indicates that the opposite is about to be shared. So the fruit of the Spirit is the opposite of the acts or the works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is what naturally occurs when the Spirit is at work, not when we're at work, busy doing our things for God, busy doing, you know, good things, busy doing our work. It's when the Spirit is at work. It's a product, a result of being led by the Spirit, of living a life that is in step, filled with the Spirit. I'm going to say Spirit a lot, and I'm going to say fruit a lot, so just get that ingrained. So we've been talking about being filled with the Spirit for this past month or so, and we know that when we allow the Holy Spirit to take the lead, he does a work in our lives to eventually produce his fruit. So we're going to take a look at the significance of fruit. We know that there is always a reason for the choice of words used in Scripture. You know, Jesus is referred to as the bread of life, the vine, the cornerstone, the living water, the rock. The list goes on. So it's fair to say that there is a reason behind the word fruit. And so what's significant about fruit? Well, fruit is from a bigger plant or tree. It can't exist without that bigger plant. We need to recognise that we are part of a bigger tree. John 15. In John 15, verses 1 to 8, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. In verse 5 it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is to my Father's glory. Sorry, jump down to verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So we're part of something bigger. We're part of the vine. We're growing from him, and our Father is the gardener. We need to remain connected to the vine, to the plant, so that we can ensure we're producing the fruit. Fruit, the definition of fruit is, or the difference between fruit and vegetable, is that fruit is actually the seed from a plant, whereas the vegetable is the makeup of the leafy bits or the, you know, the parts that, or the roots and other bits, whereas the fruit is the seed. It's the reproduction of a plant. It's how it is reproduced or multiplied. So if we look at the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, which I won't read, but just summarise, you know, so we know that the master is going away for some time and he has three workers. And to each of the workers, he gives a different number of talents. To one, he gives five talents, another two, and another one. the worker with five talents goes out, you know, he works, he produces more, he invests, and he comes back with another five. And same for the worker with two. He goes out and he works, he produces another two. And when the master gets back, he says to both the one who had five and two, well done, good and faithful servant. But to the worker who had one, he went and buried it and hid it in the ground because he was afraid. He was afraid of losing the thing that he'd been given. And when the master returns, he calls that servant or that worker wicked and lazy. In verse 29, so it's Matthew 25, verse 29, it says, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." The Holy Spirit produces this fruit in our lives. It's his fruit and not ours. We have been given a seed, which means that we can either consume it, because we can eat fruit, we can enjoy it, we can taste it, and hold it for ourselves, or we can use that seed to reproduce more of what he gives us. And by doing so, we remain in the vine. We don't want to be that branch that doesn't bear fruit, that's cut off and thrown into the fire and burned. Another thing about fruit is the type of fruit that you get depends on the type of tree. The quality of fruit depends on the quality of the tree and the quality of its soil. In Luke chapter 6, verse 43 to 45, it says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Or in the New King James Version, it says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." You know, don't we want to be people full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? We want to be full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Did you know that a tree cannot produce multiple types of fruit, you know, without modification and grafting and all that fancy stuff? Without interference, a tree cannot produce multiple types of fruit. If I plant an apple tree, I'll get apples, hopefully. If I plant a pear tree, I'll get pears. But we've just read earlier that we're part of Jesus' tree, his vine. So we already know it's a good tree. And if God's the gardener, it must be planted in good soil. You know, I think it was Karen shared with us Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19, about the importance of being rooted and grounded in love. And essentially, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, love encompasses all of the following fruits. Well, yeah, all of the following words and virtues. So we need to know that we are grounded and rooted in the love of God. That's our identity. If we know that, we know we can grow strong in him and we bear good fruit from him. Did you know that it's the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits? You know, there's significance in the fact that the word used is fruit. It's not the plural fruits. And I don't know about you, but somewhere along the line, and I think this started as a kid from Sunday school, I started calling it the fruits of the Spirit. And I think that's because, you know, as you were learning in Sunday school, each of the words would be put up and it was a different kind of fruit. And so you'd be learning about different fruits. And so in my mind, it's the fruits of the Spirit. But there is significance in the fact that it is the fruit. Fruit, singular, is made up of nine parts. And we can't have one or two. So the fruit of the Spirit is made up of those nine parts, love, joy, peace, and so on. We can't have one or two and be missing the rest and still feel that we are producing fruit of the Spirit. That would be an unripe piece of fruit because it's got something missing. We're not quite there yet. Yes, we can each experience and see around us love and joy and peace, you know, and that's lovely and nice. But to see the full effect of the Holy Spirit, to know that the Holy Spirit is at work in us, we're going to see the fruit, the whole healthy, fully ripened fruit of the Holy Spirit. We want that ripened fruit. Another thing about fruit is that it's generally sweet tasting and pleasant. Being filled by the Holy Spirit, we leave a pleasant aroma. 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 15. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those being saved and those who are perishing. We carry with us the pleasing aroma of Christ. That comes from being filled with the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to work in us. And so the fruit of that is that we have that pleasing aroma. You know, fruit is a healthy food option. It's good for you. And it's important to have regular intake of fruit. It is healthy for you to take in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And to have a regular dose. As we read in Luke, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So if we're consuming all those wonderful things of the Spirit, that is what will come out from us. You know, fruit takes time. There is a season for it to grow, and it takes time to mature, to ripen, and they also need tending to in order to get the most from each plant. Did you know that fruit trees flower and fruit each year, but some of them do so only on new branches or specific parts of older branches? And why does this matter? So if we go into gardening, or if we go to look at our garden, if we prune off the wrong branches or the wrong parts, we could lose our whole fruit crop. By knowing what age of wood fruit trees produce their fruit on, we can achieve our intended pruning goals. And that is to reduce tree size and renew the fruiting wood without accidentally sacrificing the year's harvest. Fruit of the Spirit will be growing at any time, but there are going to be seasons where we're being stretched and moved to accommodate for the new fruit. There will be pruning, the intention being not to produce less fruit, but to make the overall health of the tree better. You know, some trees don't produce fruit in the same spot, in the same branches. They need to grow. They need to be pruned and trimmed back to create that or stimulate fresh growth. If we allow the Holy Spirit to do his work, the work that only he knows how to do, he'll prune in just the right places so that our harvest isn't compromised, or his harvest isn't compromised. You know, we read in Ecclesiastes about there is a time and a season for everything and every activity. There is a time to plant and a time to harvest. It's important to know what timing we're in, what season we're in. Sometimes we don't want to be in the season of growth. We don't want to be in the season of pruning. But it's important that we embrace that. So what does it look like for the Holy Spirit to be working in our lives? For the Holy Spirit to be working, there is pruning, removing the old life, bad habits, acts of the flesh or the world that for some reason we keep trying to cling to. There are opportunities for us to grow and develop new fruit. Remember, it ripens with time. You know, has anyone like me said the prayer asking God for patience, but instead of immediately being changed to a patient person, God sends situations and circumstances that grow and stretch and mature our patience. That's generally how it happens. God provides the opportunity for growth. We choose how we respond. When we make the choice to respond using the power of the Holy Spirit, that's when the fruit buds are activated, and that's when we start to see little shoots of life. The Holy Spirit at work in our life means that we have a changed life. We are renewed. We're not some broken limb with no purpose. We are fixed to the vine, transformed. You know, just last year we looked at Romans 12. You know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. You know, we're being transformed from wanting things of the flesh to producing fruit of the Spirit. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 17, we won't read all of them, but it says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people." Even just saying it, doesn't feel good. We read on, it says in verse 10, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance." They're sounding quite like the fruit of the Spirit, aren't they? Also goes on to say, "You know all about my persecutions and sufferings. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned." Jump down to verse 16. It says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, I think it was last week as well, and I love what Karen said about how, you know, if we're in the Word, we're reading the Word, because the Word is Spirit-filled, Spirit-driven, whatever we've read, He can retrieve it. The Holy Spirit can retrieve it at any time. You know, there was a study done by the Centre for Bible Engagement, or I think it's just over time, they've conducted lots of study, lots of surveys of people. Over 20 years, they've been surveying people all around the world about their spiritual lives. Over 400,000 people around the world, 24 countries, 75 denominations, ages from 8 to up to 80. The key discovery from that organisation is that the life of someone who engages with Scripture four or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. Even if it's three times a week, there's still remarkable, radical difference in their lives. In fact, the lives of Christians who do not engage the Bible most days of the week are statistically the same as the lives of non-believers. Some of the statistics are that if you engage in the Word at least four times a week, you're 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. You're 32% chance of less anger issues. Bitterness in relationships goes down 40%. Alcoholism is reduced 57%. People are 59% less likely to view pornography. For those feeling spiritually stagnant, that feeling drops 60% if you're in the Word four times a week. You know, it can be a difficult thing to turn from what the world calls good, but we know as evil. Being in the Word is the start. We need to be reading God's Word as often as possible so that the Holy Spirit can retrieve that Word in our time of need. You know, four times a week, that's only just over half. You know, I think we could do that, church. Don't you? Yeah. If that's what four times a week does, imagine what reading more can do, what reading every day can do. Being in the Word is the start. Letting the Holy Spirit do His work in us is the next step, or part of that step. Just as Steve McCracken shared a couple of weeks ago, talking about ploughing the ground, setting up Dream Builders Smithton for fruitfulness. You know, we can't have encouragement without the challenge. That was something he said. Likewise, we can't have the fruit of the Spirit without the Holy Spirit working in our lives, transforming and renewing us. James 1, 2 to 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." In some versions, instead of perseverance, it's endurance. And I think in others as well, it's forbearance. That same word is a fruit of the Spirit. 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13 in the New King James says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified." You know, both these scriptures talk about challenges and trials and overcoming. But what comes from that? In the verse in James, it talks about perseverance, endurance. In the scripture in 1 Peter, it talks about joy. These are our fruit of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of glory and of God that rests upon you. As we overcome the trials and challenges and the ways of the world, as we choose to focus on what is good and right, the fruit grows, it ripens, and it becomes ready to plant again, ready to harvest again, to bring more branches to the vine, more people into the kingdom, as they are drawn to the fragrance and sweet aroma that the fruit of the Spirit provides. You know, church, let's not ignore the power of the Holy Spirit that is upon us. Let's not sit back and wait for others to bring the fruit. The Holy Spirit is here, he is ready, and he has the power. He has the fruits, he has all that we need. The Holy Spirit is the gift that we have been given. He works through us. The fruit of the Spirit is the effect, the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit fills me so that people don't know where the Holy Spirit starts and where I finish. Any one of us, all of us, can be and should be filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you're feeling a lack in one of these areas, in the fruit, in love, in joy, in peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, hopefully I haven't missed one, there's an opportunity to seek the Spirit's leading and guidance. Somewhere along the way, perhaps you've fallen out of step with the Spirit, taken steps towards the flesh, but he's here with you right now, ready and waiting. He doesn't leave. He sits back. If you don't engage him, he might sit back. He might not engage. He may, but he might not. He's waiting for you to say, "Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me." You know, something that Steve shared when he was here was about the kingdom mindset, having a kingdom mindset, not a small town mindset. And I was going to have a little apple with you and with me to show you and do a little prop thing. But if I held up an apple and asked, "What do you see?" You know, what do you see when you picture an apple? An apple, yeah. Something to eat, piece of fruit. It's an apple. You might see the colour. You see what's in front of you. That's small town thinking. When we see an apple, I want to encourage you not to see an apple. See the apple trees. See the orchard. See the seed that is ready to be planted. There is growth and there is opportunity that comes with each fruit. that is produced. So each fruit of the Holy Spirit, every time we are trialed, every time we are challenged, the Holy Spirit is at work in us to produce the fruit. You know, it's not just a conversation with someone. You know, we might look at that and go, yep, that's nice. I got to chat to Georgia today. That was cool. You know, I got to, you know, say hi to someone. I sent this message and, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal that I got up and, you know, asked someone if they needed prayer or that kind of thing. It's not just an encouraging word. It's not just a prayer. We need to have that kingdom mindset that it's a seed. It's a seed that's planted in the heart of another person. And if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and we're obedient to where he's directing us and guiding us, you know, you don't know where that seed's going to end up, what kind of fruit that's going to produce. I might ask Bron to come back up just as we wrap up. You know, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us so that we can be planting those seeds of his fruit. So what does it look like to see the fruit of the Spirit? It's living a life filled with the Holy Spirit. It means being transformed by him into the likeness of Christ. It means giving up the desires of the flesh and asking the Holy Spirit to renew us so that we can be his fruit bearers, to produce his fruit, not by our own works, but by his power working in us. So that regardless of where we go and what we do, we carry love. No matter what situations and challenges we face, we still have joy. In the midst of battles or turmoil, we can stand firm in his peace. When things aren't working out how we wanted or as quickly as we wanted or imagined, we remain long-suffering, patient. When those around us are mean or we experience situations that hurt us, we respond with kindness. When there seems to be bad news all around, we share the goodness of Christ. When all around us there is broken promises and mistrust, we remain faithful to Christ and to the body. When times are harsh and we're being hit on all sides, we remain gentle in spirit, speech, and conduct. When the world tells us to take matters into our own hands, to fight, to argue, to hate, to act, or to move when we know we need to be still, we exercise self-control. The fruit is the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in and through us. You know, church, this morning, you know, I know the last few weeks we've ended in prayer and that altar call to come forward for prayer, and I'm going to do the same today because there is never not a good time to receive prayer, to say, Holy Spirit, I'm stepping out. To say, God, you know what, I was filled last week, but maybe I got distracted. Maybe I wasn't really, you know, seeking you this in the past week, but I'm going to step forward this week, and this week is going to be different. And, you know, as long as we keep stepping forward, as long as we keep being led by the Spirit, he is at work in us. And it doesn't matter if that step is a leap from the stage or if that step is just 1 foot just in front of the other. As long as we are walking with the Spirit, keeping in step with him and open to him doing his work in us. So I'm going to close it there, church, and just invite you now, if you would like to have prayer this morning, to come down the front, myself or Matt or someone from Oversight will come and pray with you. Or if you just want to come and, you know, step forward and just say, you know, Holy Spirit, I'm just stepping out. I'm just showing you that I'm going to step forward in faith in you. As the band, lead us in worship, let's do that as a church. Let's stand and let's sing, worship our God, and be filled anew.
Thanks for that, Nikori. A really good word there this morning. But I'm just going to read what she started off with, because you know, she talked about the walking in the flesh, walking in the spirit. There's a war that's going on, right? The flesh is in conflict with the spirit. You've got to understand this. I have trouble with this every day, walking with the flesh, doing what Matt wants, or walking with the spirit, staying in step with the Holy Spirit, doing what God wants. Hear Paul's words and his heart to the Galatian church. He says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, which is the flesh, the results are clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lust for pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. And then listen to what he says. He says, let me tell you, as I've before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh my gosh, that is so sobering. If we are living a life according to the flesh, Paul says we will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Oh, that could mean a number of things. But that is very, very sobering. I don't want to be in that category where I'm not inheriting the kingdom of God, whether that's on this earth or whether that is in the future. Very sobering. You know, Nicori also mentioned, she mentioned about reading the Word of God and how, you know, reading the Word and then allowing the Holy Spirit to minister and to do His work in us. You know, there's a big attack on the Word of God today. There is a big attack on the Word of God today. You know, the Word says, Paul says, we are to renew our mind by the Word of God. Well, we're a bit to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, people are being transformed today, not by the renewing of their mind, but by the mutilation of their flesh. There is a real attack on the Word of God. A real attack on the Word of God. The Bible is seen as hate speech. The enemy has sabotaged what it means to be a male and what it means to be female. The enemy has sabotaged what it means, what the whole concept of a rainbow means. There is a real attack on the Word of God. And let us not be complacent when it comes to reading the Word every day. It's so important that we're opening up the Word, that we're hearing from God and allowing the Holy Spirit to come and do stuff in our hearts. Jesus says, out of the heart flows the issues of life, and there's lustful pleasures and there's evil thoughts, jealousies and things like that. We need the Holy Spirit to do work on our hearts. So I want to encourage you this morning. You may have come down last week for prayer about being filled with the Spirit and wanting to walk in step with the Spirit. But I tell you, it is a daily battle. It is a daily battle. Walking in the flesh, am I going to do what Matt wants to do today, or am I going to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do today? I've got that challenge every day. And I want to encourage you, hear Nicori's heart and hear the heart of Paul. That, you know, if it's a struggle with you, and I'm just going to say it right out, 100%, it'd be a struggle for everybody. Come out the front, get some prayer, be filled with the Holy Spirit. These are what these moments are for. Encounter nights that we're having tonight, these are what these moments are for. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. Well, we don't have to do this on our own. We have the Holy Spirit. He is a divine being. He is God. And He comes alongside to give us help in our time of need. So I just want to say that, sorry, but I just felt really impressed to say those things. But well done, Nicori. Thanks for sharing that this morning. Just going to leave it over to the band and let's just have a song. But please come out. If it's a struggle, walking in the flesh, walking in the Spirit, if it's a struggle, come out the front. Just come out the front and say, Holy Spirit, we just want you to fill me afresh, fill us afresh, and help us in this battle that we are in.